For decades, Western countries, including the U.S., imposed layer after layer of crippling sanctions on Syria to punish its dictatorial regime. That regime fell in December, and the European Union has now suspended some sanctions. And many sanctions, though, are still ongoing, and Syrians say they need them lifted to rebuild their country. NPR's Emily Fang and Jawad Rizullah report.
Very little of Syria's basic infrastructure works anymore. Its hospitals are nearly empty of equipment. Entire neighborhoods have been obliterated and left unfixed. And most of its power grid is still offline. Engineer Ibrahim Hamaju shows us around one of Syria's few remaining power distribution sites.
This transformer is older than me, it's old.
The transformer is corroded and cocooned by cinder blocks to shield it from artillery strikes. All this care because it's literally irreplaceable due to U.S. sanctions. Some of those sanctions started in the 1970s. The majority came after the 2000s, however, cutting off banking and most trade to punish Syria's former regime for abetting Islamist extremists. And then, in response to human rights atrocities during the civil war, so tight were sanctions on Syria that after 2019, any person found helping Syrians evade U.S. sanctions would also be sanctioned themselves.
It's just a black market happening, right?
This is Damascus resident Tarek Rawanji. He owns a supermarket and also teaches high school economics. One of the big topics he teaches is the impact of sanctions.
So when we open the book and we read about sanctions, I tell them, you are living the book right now, you know, because they can see all the sanctions.
For example, Syria has ample natural resources like cotton and petroleum. But Rawanji points out it's hard to trade that internationally. And for him to even buy foreign goods for his supermarket, because Syria has no foreign exchange reserves after decades of sanctions. He echoes what nearly all Syrians feel, that sanctions punished an old regime they hated too. But that regime is now gone, and now Rawanji wants sanctions lifted.
Then we can get, you know, our country built again, you know, without the help of the support, financial support of any country.
Syria's interim government told NPR it wants to entice some 6 million of its citizens who fled abroad during the civil war to come back. But to do that, its new electricity minister, Omar Shakrouk, says they need to prove to them that the country will rebuild their homes and offer basic services, like electricity. He says financing is the biggest obstacle. He can now speak with foreign companies who are interested in building a new power grid for Syria, but they're not allowed to invest. No bank is allowed to process their transactions into Syria. One of the projects Shakrouk would like to fix is this thermal plant in northern Syria. It was built in 1979. At the time, an impressive engineering feat. The plant's director, Mohammed Al-Mohammed, shows me how sanctions have hampered every part of the hulking plant. The huge fan engines that once sucked in oxygen-rich air to feed the furnaces, now they're rusted beyond repair. The cooling water pumps are also offline. Their mechanical innards have been painstakingly taken apart by engineer Mazen Al-Awad in a last-ditch effort to fix them, only to discover he had no more spare parts. He says he has not gotten any replacement parts since 2009 because of sanctions. Al-Mohammed, the plant director, spent most of the last 3 decades bootstrapping workarounds to keep the plant going. But finally, last October, the last turbine stopped working, and the plant creaked to a complete halt. He says he feels utterly depressed. We feel like we're dying of frustration, he says. He spent his entire career staving off what should have been the plant's preventable closure. European and American lawmakers say Syria's new government first needs to prove it's committed to turning the page on the old regime's practices before they lift sanctions. Syrians argue they need sanctions lifted first to rebuild and thus prove they can change. Emily Fang, NPR News, Idlib, Syria.